We'll have some fun today because I think we only have about three verses. So I figured we'd open it up and have some discussion on the general nature of Psalm 71 before Oscar decides who's going to do 72. So anyway, let's go. Sue, you want to go ahead and start us off?
Thank you, Jesus, for this day, and bless everybody that's here and not here.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, bless Rich, my God.
Thank you,
Lord.
You
speak to him the way you want to speak to him, my God.
Thank you, Lord.
Just bless everybody in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Yes. Okay. You enjoying this weather? I know I am.
Yes.
You can have the 90-degree weather. I'm sitting here talking because I'm waiting for it to come up on my computer. So, praise the Lord. All righty. So, let's, I think we got down to, what was it? Actually 21.
Okay.
21. So, let's go to verse 21 as this slow computer picks up. Yeah, go ahead and read 21 to the end.
Okay. You will restore me to even greater honor and comfort me once again. Then I will praise you with music on the harp because you are faithful to your promises, O my God. I will sing praises to you with a lyre, the Holy One of Israel. I will shout for joy and sing your praises, for you have ransomed me. I will tell you about your righteous deeds all day long. For everyone who tried to hurt me has been shamed and humiliated.
How about amplified?
All right. Increase my greatness, my honor, and turn and comfort me. I will also praise you with the harp, even your truth and faithfulness, O my God, unto you will I sing praises with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips shall shout for joy when I sing praises to you, and my inner being which you have redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long. For they are put to shame, for they are confounded, who seek and demand my hurt.
Praise the Lord. Okay, Psalm 71:21. King James says, "Thou shalt increase my greatness." Kind of sounds weird, doesn't it? Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side.
Yeah.
I like the second part a lot. The first part says, "Thou shalt, Lord, you're going to increase my greatness." So we definitely need to dig into that word, right? Because I don't think that he's concerned with, you know, the world's definition of greatness. He's concerned with his definition of greatness.
It says in my honor.
Yeah.
He put it in parentheses.
Say that again.
In parentheses it says, after greatness it says, my honor.
Yeah.
So you should increase my honor.
So the only thing that's great, just like when the young ruler came to Jesus and said, you know, good teacher, I think it was. He said, "Why do you call me good? There's only one that's good." Well, there's only one that's great.
Yeah.
And it's not us.
Yeah.
It's not us. Mm-hmm. So I dug into this word greatness, and it was really cool. Really cool. Because what happens is it just totally changes the whole thought process on it. Mm. The word greatness means to grow up.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Now it makes some sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, my maturity.
Now we can say, okay, thou shalt increase my growing up. Oh, Lord, increase it every day, Lord. Just keep increasing it. And that's not a lofty thing to say, is it? If you take it literally, and I have to say this. I won't mention I was listening to some Christian programming this week. And he was saying, well, the only way to interpret the Bible is literal. And I'm like, oh, my, you're missing so much of the richness of the Bible.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
by not digging in like
well,
we do.
That's pretty sad, because then when he even says, I speak of parables with the Bible, so he, if he doesn't understand a parable, then...
Well, and this guy has more PhDs and doctors of divinity than I would even want. You know?
I love it when somebody says, well, I've got a college degree. I'm like, oh my goodness, you guys
so
don't get the common sense of things. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's the problem. They don't have common sense.
They don't.
They're so smart in degrees that they just don't have the common sense.
Yeah, we talked about that. We know someone that she's very intelligent, has a great job, makes mega bucks. But my goodness gracious, to sit down and talk about common sense things. You know, Tyler has more common sense in 15 years than she does in 49.
Wow.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And I don't mean to put her down. I'm just saying that the bottom line is, you know, sometimes common sense prevails against book knowledge. Mm-hmm. You know, I would say not sometimes, but all the time. I mean, my goodness, if you're going to take the Bible as, you know, dead words that are on a page like any other book in the library, you're going to miss out on the richness. You're going to miss out on the wonderful words of life that can bring life to your being, and you're going to just say, well, that was a nice book, or that was a, boy, God's a pretty mean God in that Old Testament, you know, and you're going to say a bunch of things that you have no basis of saying, you know, So really, thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. So thou shalt increase my maturing, my growing up, my coming to that level of sonship, if I could say that. Coming to that place where you are sold out to the Lord, you are surrendered to the Lord, you have denied yourself, you are now concerned with things of God, not things of Rich, or things of Julie, or things of Sue, or things that, you know, you're concerned with the Lord and what He wants to do. And that's what I love about this psalm, because it's a psalm from coming from someone who's along in years. You know, this person, when he was writing this psalm, it was not a 25-year-old writing it. It wasn't a 50-year-old writing it, I would guess. I would guess it was more like someone in their 70s or 80s even.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that here. Hopefully we got time to talk about that, because, you know, there's a lot that every single person around this room, and listening by the internet, there's a lot that you have left if you are open and surrendered to the Lord. There's a lot that you have left. There's a lot of things you can do for the Lord. You know, when you breathe your last, there's nothing going to be more important until you sit there and say, okay, did I fulfill what the Lord put me here on this earth to fulfill? Did I do that? You know, if you didn't, well, you know, I mean, you're not going to be, you know, crying and whatever, because there's no tears in heaven, but you're not going to, you know, there will probably be that split second where you say, you know, I wish I'd have done more. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is a great psalm to read to, no matter what age you are, to say, okay, I don't care what age you are, there are things that the Lord can use you, and you can do these things on His behalf and for His glory. Okay, so, and it also means do great things. Well, I think it's a progression. If you're growing up in the Lord, the things that you're going to do are great things for Him. It's not great things to elevate you or to exalt you. It's great things to elevate Him and exalt Him. So in other words, you're talking about, you know, the Bible says, you know, when you lift up Jesus, you will draw how many men?
All.
So if you're lifting up the name of the Lord, and you're lifting up His goodness and His mercy and His grace and all the wonderful things, His love, all the wonderful things that He does, then guess what? You're doing great things.
Yes.
You know, when He's being lifted up, that's great things. Hey, Lil. So, do you ever have to be sorry? We're glad to see you. I don't care what time it is. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So now the greatness is now makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes.
It makes a lot more sense than it did reading it in the King James. Okay. Now that second word I like is comfort. Now, it's kind of a strange, there's kind of strange definitions, but in this case, it means console or comfort oneself. Now, what do you think that means? I mean, you know, it means repent, regret, comfort, be comforted. So it's not necessarily that you're lying on a nice bed and you're, like, comfortable. No, that's not what that means. It means it has always has something to do with your walk with the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what this means. So if you're saying console or comfort yourself, oneself, what do you think that means?
Every time I think of that, especially me being when I was the first saved Christian, it's almost like, oh my goodness, I'm so scared. That, and it's saying, comfort me on every side. I'm in the middle, and the Lord's protecting me.
There you
me.
Go. Mm-hmm. That's good. Very good. And that's exactly what he says. He says, I'll be your leader. You follow me. I'll lead. And I will also protect your rear. You know, the rear guard. You know, in other words, you have that protection from him regardless of, you know, as long as, again, if you decide to wander off on your own, he'll let you wander off on your own.
Yeah, he sure will.
And there may be some consequences to that.
Yes,
but if you're in his will, he's going to, and you say, well, how could something bad happen if I'm right there in his will? Well, we talked about that many times. You know, he only chastised those whom he loves, and all things work together for our good.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Mm-hmm. Period. So, yeah, whatever it is. You know, with God, there's no good and bad. It's just, when you're in his will, it's just, this is what I have to do to get you to where I have to get you to.
What'd you say, Sam?
Good and bad things.
Oh, good and bad. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, good. And so basically, whatever happens, you have to say, I know, we had something that we were going to, we did a little daily study with Oswald Chambers, and if you have that
book,
his my highest, or what is it?
My utmost
for his highest.
I've got that book.
I have that book.
Oh, if you have that book.
Oh, my goodness, no.
If you have that book, go to Yesterday and Today. It's really good. It's really good. But anyway.
You know the song that Brother Prensing has sung before when he was singing, he was preaching, and I got the tape, God is in control. He sang the song, God up above us, God all around us,
mm-hmm.
God is with us, and underneath, God is in us, and then underneath us is the everlasting arms.
Wow.
And he said he's God of the mountain.
That's
God
good.
God of the valley.
He is.
God of the darkest
He's
night.
He's God of everything.
God of the morning light. Yes.
His utmost, my utmost most, for
his highest.
Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So that's good. I like that as far as consoling and comforting ourselves. You know, the way, I mean, just to try to take it a literal approach is, you know, when I need comforting and I need console, I get into his word. Mm-hmm. I pray. I praise him.
Get along with him and just, yes.
Yeah. It says we're two or more together, he is there in the midst. His presence is there. Well, you say, well, it's just me. No, it's not just
you.
It's you and him. It's you and him.
Yeah.
So two or more means you and him. And when you and him get together, it's time to have church. If you want. If you want. You got to want it. You got to want it. You know?
Yeah.
But that's one way to get comfort. That's one way. And you say, well, you're not doing it. He is. Well, that's right. But you made the decision.
Yeah.
You made that decision, that choice.
Says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. That's,
yeah.
That's how you do
yeah.
it.
So he encouraged himself. He consoled mm-hmm. himself. He comforted himself. So, yeah, that's, you know, you have to make that decision. And then God will do the rest. And that's the good news. All we have to do is make the decision and take the time,
mm-hmm.
and he will do everything else. And you will come away better than you were when you went
amen.
In.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
You will.
Yep.
You really will. Okay. In Psalms 119:52, the second part of this is more so than the first, but it says, I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is, you do have a part in this. You do have a part in this. If you're looking for God to do everything, you're probably going to be disappointed, because mm-hmm. you have to initiate it. You have to bring yourself to that point where you want to have fellowship with him. You want that intimacy. And then when you do, he shows up every single time.
And you can have it anytime, anywhere.
Anytime, in the car.
In the car.
Yes. Anywhere.
Yes.
Anywhere.
Today.
That's right.
I tell you.
That's right.
Yes, I'm going to read the Amplified. It says, when I have earnestly recalled your ordinances from of old, O Lord, I have taken comfort.
Mm. Yeah, you look in the Old Testament, a lot of Christians don't like reading the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. I mean, it is just so much fun to get into the Old Testament, because everything that happened there was just a foreshadow of what was to come.
Right.
That's all it was. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you look back and you see how he took care of all these people, Ruth and Esther and Moses, and I mean, you look at all of them, some that aren't that well known and those that are very well known, and one way or another he took care of all of them. You know, he really did. Those who were true and those who were faithful to the Lord, you know, look at Job, man. He went through more than you can ever imagine. But guess what? He was rewarded in double portion of all that he lost. God restored him. Okay, anything else on 21? 22, I will also praise thee with the psaltery. Of course, we're going to talk about that word, interesting word. Even thy truth, O my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. Of course, we know the Holy One of Israel is the Lord. But that word psaltery is a really interesting word. The word psaltery, the actual thing that is a psaltery, is like a violin. It's got strings. You can either pluck it or you can take a bow. That's what the psaltery in the natural, that's what the psaltery was. But when you break down the word in the spiritual, it's a vessel. It's an implement. It's a utensil of music, typically. But you get to the root of this, you get all the way down to the root of this word, and it's to accomplish, to cease, to consume, determine, end, finish, complete. All these words, you know, tell me that, you know, that I will praise thee with the psaltery. It's an understanding, it's a knowledge that what he began in you, he's going to complete. Psaltery is just like the word psalm, psaltery. Psaltery. It's just like the word psalms, only with salt. It's P and then salt-ery. And what's he saying? That's funny. I'm glad you brought that up, because who's the salt of the earth?
So I'm seeing S-U-L-T.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see how that definition was plain.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up, because the middle of that word is salt.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't we to be like salt?
Yeah.
And preserve and sustain people and help people and whatever, be the salt of the earth, right?
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I didn't really see that.
No, I didn't
right
either.
Now.
I was looking at S-U-L.
Yeah, yeah.
You're right, you know that word, you're so salt.
Well, I have the word definition.
Yeah.
That's what I
What's that?
I have this definition, it's lyre, L-Y-R-E.
Yeah, a lyre is like a stringed instrument. You hold it up like this.
Mm-hmm.
You hold it up like this, and you like kind of, it's like a violin. And lyre and psaltery are very similar, from what I can tell. They're very, very similar.
I'm like, wow, I've never saw that word.
They're old-time instruments. The electric guitar came from these instruments.
Gotcha.
Okay, the bass guitar came from these.
Okay, so this is kind of like David's harp.
Yes.
Oh,
exactly.
There we go.
That's
okay.
Exactly what it is.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. But I like the root of this is completion. Mm-hmm. Finished. It's finished. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. Mm-hmm. Now, it's up to you to walk in that finished work. It's all done. Now, you have to walk in that. And you have to accept that and have faith to believe that what Jesus said is true. And if it is true, then you know what? That's where you have your abundant life. That's where you have victory. Every step you take, mm-hmm. he'll give it to you because you're walking in that kind of confidence in the Lord. Okay, I might want to wait till the end. Fine. But yeah, hold on to that because that really does summarize a lot of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Okay, anything in 22? I'm trying to get through this so that someone else can start 72 next week. Anything else on 22? Let's go. Oh, I do want to say this, that just to give you another scriptural reference to that word, psaltery, the root word of that is the same word as the word ended. Now, I'm going to read this from Genesis 2:2. On the seventh day, God ended, so it's the root of psaltery, okay? God ended his work which he had made. Now, look at how important that word is. He ended his work. Guess what? The next day was the day of rest, the Sabbath. So think about that. That is, and I mean, some word like psaltery, you go, so what? You usually kind of pass by that because I didn't know what it was until I looked it up. And then, you know, the definition in the Strong's of that word just describes what it is. But then you get to the root, and then you get to the root, it's like, it's a very important word. It says, in the seventh day, God ended his work. He ended it. So what's going to happen to you is God's going to end his work in you at one time. Mm-hmm. That's coming. He will end his work with you, and you will be all in all with him. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. Okay. Let's see. The word truth, I will just quickly go there. It's firmness, faithfulness, truth, and it's of divine instruction. So if you're living in his truth, you're living in his divine instruction. It also means to root is support, confirm, be faithful. Now, what are we describing here? New Testament says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So all we're talking about, the word truth is Jesus. When we describe the word truth, we're describing Jesus. He's firm in what he stands for, right? He's faithful. He's truthful. He has divine instruction to offer us. He supports us, confirms us. He's faithful to us. I mean, it's just all, whenever you see the word truth, you can take that out and put Jesus in there, and you will never go wrong, never, ever. Yeah. It says in Isaiah 28:16, that same word truth comes off as believe, okay? So in Isaiah 28:16, it says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God. And you've heard this scripture a million times. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. I'm ready to sing. Remember that song? Mm-hmm. A sure stone, a precious cornerstone. Okay, he believeth shall not make haste. Okay? So if you believe all that stuff, it says don't make haste. Don't deal with all the stuff that you deal with. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Okay. And the word Israel, of course, is God prevails, and the root is to preserve. We're coming up with a lot of really good words in this, aren't we? And that's where I want to get to now. The rest of the scripture, I just want to have plenty of time for an open discussion. What kind of words pops into your mind, you know, if you want to just kind of read through this again, you know, just to do a quick thing, it seems like David is kind of double-minded, but I don't believe he was. But he's sitting there one minute, he's saying, praise the Lord. Next minute, he's saying, one minute, I put my trust in you. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. And then it's like, it says, do not cast me off in times of old age. He knew the Lord wasn't going to cast him off in times of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails.
We're all woes me attitudes. I mean, we all get into that rut.
I know. For my enemies speak against me. Who cares what seriously, if you have sold out and you have surrendered, who cares what your enemies say about you? You know, so I'm not saying he was double-minded, but it's like it kind of goes back and forth. And I think we struggle with that from time to time, you know, where we go, well, I know the Lord's in control of this. May not seem like he is, but I know he's in control of this situation, and I know that all things work together for my good. But this is tough. This is a difficult, you know, valley that I'm in right now. I'm really struggling with this. So I think David's no different than us. So I'm going to come up with a couple words that I take out of this, and I want you all to join in with maybe what you, because I've already talked to Brenda, and I'm not going to steal that word because that is definitely the number one word, so I'll go to a couple other ones. And that is, let's take the word endure, endurance. I mean, think about that. You better have endurance for this walk, right? I mean, without endurance, you're going to do exactly what Lil did. Oh, man. You know? So endurance, and the word endure is a very important. That's what he's showing in Psalms 71, that he's going to endure no matter what. You know, no matter what happens, no matter what his enemies are doing, I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on you, Lord, and I'm going to endure whatever I need to endure to get to wherever I need to get to, okay? So let's just talk about that word endure for a little bit. Let's go to Hebrews 12. It says, just think of him, Hebrews 12:3, just think of him who endured from sinners such a grievous opposition and bitter hostility, this is amplified, against himself. They're talking about Jesus here. I mean, just think how much Jesus, think what he endured. Hebrews 12:3. So it says, just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. What did Jesus do to warrant the treatment that he got? He just said, love. I mean, that's all he said was love your neighbor. Love your enemy. Mm-hmm. Now, that was foreign because it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And so when you start saying love your enemies, you're like a false prophet back in those days because that's not what they were taught. And it says, he says, oh, I love this. And do you have the Amplified? Mm-hmm. So you follow along. It says, and bitter hostility against himself, and in parentheses it says, reckon up and consider it all in comparison to your trials. Wow. Okay, well, if we want to start comparing our trials with his trials, I think we got it pretty good. You know, I don't think we have any trials compared to what he went through. I don't see anybody jamming thorns in your head, and I don't see anybody hitting you over the back 39 times with bone chips on whips. I don't see any of that. And even before that, it was a lot worse, I think, for Jesus, other than the physical pain, was when people just rejected him, you know. And here he is with a cup of cold water for someone who's been in the desert for, you know, days and days and days, and they knock the cold water out of his hands, and they're thirsty and they're dying. And that's the way I look at what Jesus did for the world at that time, and they rejected him, you know. And it says, so that you may not grow weary. No one wants to grow weary. No one wants to get exhausted. losing heart and relaxing and feigning in your minds. In your minds. So I thought that was a really good scripture. So it talks about endurance. Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. So he endured all this for the joy. What's the joy? Well, one thing is watching us sitting here talking about how wonderful he is. There's some joy. He's feeling joy when we do this. You know, the other joy is seeing you grow. Doesn't a parent like to see their kids grow and mature and take on responsibility and become a pillar of the community, so to speak? You know, someone who is self, you know, sufficient, not in a bragging sense, but in a sense that they can now pay their own bills and they've got a great job and whatever. So
and clean their own room.
Huh?
And clean their own room.
Clean their own room. I love that. Okay, James 5:11. Okay, James 5:11. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. Wow. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end, for the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. Okay. Another word, just I think synonyms of endure is to continue, to keep on, to persevere, to persist, to remain, to survive. These are other words, you know, synonyms of that word endure. So, I do want to read the last verse of Psalm 71:23. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. I wanted to talk about that word redeemed, then we'll get right back. Got ahead of myself. The word redeemed is to ransom, redeem, rescue. What do you rescue us from?
Our sins.
Yeah. Some people would say hell, right? Yeah. But it's a lot more than that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and it also means to cut or to loose by cutting. Remember we talked about the word of God is sharp and powerful like a two-edged sword, cutting asunder soul and spirit and bone and marrow and all that. So it says to cut loose. What's he cutting loose by cutting? He's cutting loose the binds. People think without the Lord that they're free. And it's just the opposite. They've been deceived. It's just the opposite. You're not free until you start following the Lord and start living for Christ and start acknowledging him in us and acknowledging him in our lives and in everything we do, you know. And it also means to redeem by paying a price. Jesus paid a price that we could not pay. We owed that, but we couldn't pay it. So that's why it's a free gift, and that's why we have to appreciate the free gift. You know, I love this song. It's a song that we used to sing a lot here. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy will be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I want that. Mm-hmm. Don't you? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, all they're saying here is that we just have to return to him. So if we go astray a little bit, we got to return to him. I don't think it just means the sinner coming to the Lord for the first time and getting born again saved. I think it's for all of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? Okay. I thought we'd have no problem finishing this, but I'm going to hold off on this one. let's go. The word that you said, Brenda, last week is trust. Mm-hmm. that Psalm 71 meant to you, which it means to me the same thing, probably means to everybody the same thing, is it's all about trust in that psalm. It even starts off with O Lord, I put my trust in you, let me never be put to shame. So he's trusting the Lord that whatever happens, and he's going to trust him regardless, no matter what he goes through. So I just had to go to Psalms 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. So if you are in that secret place, you don't even acknowledge any of that stuff, because it says right here, whose power no foe can withstand. There's nothing that your foes or whatever, your mind, your thought process that's not, thinking clearly, there's nothing that can withstand the power of the Lord. Nothing. And then number two, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. I love in the Amplified. This is the Amplified Classic. I'd never seen that before, but it's a little different than the Amplified. So, confidently trust. For then he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings shall you trust and find refuge. Yes. That word trust comes first, right? Mm-hmm. You got to trust if you're going to find refuge in him. You got to trust first.
Yes.
His truth, there's that word truth. His truth and his faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. Mm-hmm. And we don't have time to go into all that, but you know what a shield is, right?
Yes.
If you're holding up a shield in battle, it's to protect you, right? And yes. He's your shield, the shield of faith that we hold up to stop all those fiery darts, from reaching us.
Well, I think it means, too, that we shouldn't second guess things that come down our path in life, because if we trust him, we're not going to second guess, right?
Right. We accept it.
I don't do, and a lot of people do, is like, why is this happening? What, it's like, why? I just don't do it, because it's like, there's a reason it happened.
You're mature.
And you just have to deal with it. Yeah, you just have to deal with it and not second guess it.
Right? Mm-hmm. So. Amen.
Well, you can always tell by when somebody says something, the relationship they have with the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's like, okay, well, you just need a little bit more. I like to say that the Baptists kind of have this, which is really simple to me. It's like when you're a baby, you had to have the milk. So you're reading the word, you don't understand, and all of a sudden, here we go, we're in the Lord a little bit longer, now all of a sudden we got the meat, now we're getting steaks, now we're getting, we're getting the meat of it all, and that when you hear somebody say something, you're like, oh, well, they just don't understand yet. Yeah. So, and I think that's, when people say, well, why is this happening? Well,
I think we all went through
not,
that.
Yeah.
I think we've all gone through that phase where we go, why, Lord? Why, Lord? And then you sit there and you get mad at God.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's okay. He likes that, because guess what? You're starting to see that growth. And he can...
Hopefully
they don't walk away. Yeah. But, the bottom line, he will never leave you or forsake you. He's going to keep knocking on your door. And, once you're his, you're his. I mean, you look at your kid, if your kid strays away, you're going to, make attempts to bring that kid back in,
And, Lord help us. Yes.
Hit a nerve with Sue,
yes,
huh?
Yes. Yes, Lord.
Well, let's break down this word trust, because... On Psalms 91:21, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. That's one word of trust. But then on Psalms 91:4, it says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, under his wings shall thou trust, His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Now, it's interesting. Those are two different words.
Mm-hmm.
In English, they put the same word, but they are two different words. And that's why this is so much fun, because you really dig in and find out why there were two different words for the same English word, trust. But just like the word love in Greek, you got agape, phileo, and eros.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all, you'll see that it's love mm-hmm. or charity mm-hmm. in the all through the New Testament. But they're three different kinds of love. And I wish the whoever came up with the English language would, you know, have been able to, because when people say I love French fries and then say I love you, honey, it's like,
yeah.
I mean, seriously, we don't think about it, but that is, that's a little odd if you were from a different language and then you came in and you said, okay, I don't understand French fries and your spouse, you know. Anyway. So the first word is, in him will I trust. It's H982 in the Strong's. It says, to have confidence, be confident, to cause to trust, make secure, to feel safe, to throw one's cares on anyone. Doesn't he say, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. Okay? And it says, let's see. And it's, I like this, has no cause to fear. So if you are truly trusting in the Lord, perfect love casts all fear. Well, there's only one perfect love. Yeah, that's it. So if you are perfect, trusting in him perfectly, let's say, then you know, he takes away the fears, you know. Now the next word is shalt thou trust, and it's to seek refuge, flee for protection, to put trust in God, confide or hope in God. Isn't that interesting that there's two words, both truth, or both trust, and they have completely, well, not completely, they're related to a degree, but they're different meanings. He does it all. He does both of them. You trust in him and you get it all. You get the whole package. The whole enchilada. It's all yours. Okay, I have one last thing, but I want to hear what you guys, how do you feel about Psalm 71? What did you get out of it? What did you, you know?
A lot.
Any words that come to mind that we haven't spoken? Okay, then you're going to make me keep talking. I wanted you guys to talk a little bit.
I think it kind of teaches us that we should lead by example and follow him.
Okay.
I got, like, reliance.
Okay.
You know, there's so many enemies, and speaking of, you know, praise, and it's just reliance.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what the psalmist was doing is, you know, even when he'd get off a little bit, he'd come right back on and say, Lord, I rely on you. I don't rely on myself. I don't rely on my circumstances or my environment or whatever. I rely on you. I trust in you. Yes, that's a good one. Anybody else? Well, keep thinking, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read this little story because I thought it was really good. Because a lot of the Psalm 71 was an old man writing to the Lord saying, I hope you're not finished with me yet. Okay? And he wasn't. John Reed of Sydney, Australia, was preaching in Christ Church Cathedral one Sunday, and a 75-year-old woman named Ethel Hatfield got saved. 75 years old. Miss Hatfield had attended that church for decades, but the message had never gotten through to her until that day. Now think about that. She'd been going to church for decades, 20, 30, 40, who knows how many years. But that day was her day of salvation. That day it all clicked. God sensitized her to the word of the Spirit, and she was saved. So The following day, she came in to see Bishop Reed and said, "I could hardly sleep last night. I was so excited about what happened. I want to do something to serve God with the few years that I have left. I was wondering if I could teach Sunday school." You got to give her credit.
Yeah.
You know, she had that zeal, you know, that she knew that her time was short compared to, you know, natural standards, you know. But the bishop looked at this 75-year-old white-haired lady and just couldn't picture her controlling the rambunctious third or fourth grade kid. So he said, "I'm sorry we don't have an opening in our Sunday school." Her face fell. Bishop Reed said, "You mean business, don't you?" He could see that she was very disappointed because she wanted to do something for the Lord. "I don't know what kind of service God may have for you, but let's pray." And that was the most important thing they could have done.
Mm-hmm.
So they prayed for God to reveal his will for her. And that's what we should always be praying.
Yes.
Every day. "Lord, what do you want me to do today?"
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The next day, Mrs. Hatfield was out in her yard tending to her roses when a Chinese student from Taiwan walked by. He stopped and complimented her on her roses, and they began to talk. She thought, "He seems like a decent chap. I'll invite him in for a spot of tea." So she did, and she told him her testimony. Now, this is how awesome the Lord is. He stopped, he found it an interesting story. So when he had to leave, he asked if he could come back and talk further. She said, come back and bring a friend with you. You know what's going to happen next. He came back, brought a friend, and she again shared how she had come to put her faith in Jesus Christ after all these years, and how Christ had forgiven her sin and given her eternal life. These students came back and brought more friends, who brought even more friends. Within 2 weeks, this is the Lord, man, within 2 weeks, Mrs. Hatfield, I tell you, this is a great, powerful story. She was leading a weekly Bible study with 70 Chinese students. Wow. 70 in 2 weeks. God is a powerful, powerful God. He is not to be taken lightly. He can do all things, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And she was operating in the strength of the Lord. Okay, 70 was intense. She led many of them to a personal faith in Jesus Christ. That which seemed a hindrance to Mrs. Hatfield serving the Lord, her age, she thought was a hindrance, God turned into the key to reaching a group of people who respected old age.
Beautiful.
I remember a story with Opal. I was telling you that she was getting ill, and when I married David, we started going to this Baptist church, and it was so funny that I seemed to gravitate to these older people, and it's like all of them were dying on me, and after a while I'm thinking, where are they going? I'm like, Lord, I need somebody else. And she was telling me about her story when she was saved at 12 years old, and she was a virtuous woman, and that she waited until she got married and blah blah blah, and she was like the epitome of Christ, of her example of her life. And when she passed away, it was just like, oh my goodness, I've lost, you know, a friend. But she finally got to see the Lord, and I thought, boy, at the rewards that she has because of all this wisdom in Christ, because she was actually a Sunday school teacher for Norwoods Baptist Church out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of funny that, you know, she was 90-something.
But what you just said is Psalms 71.
Mm-hmm.
She passed the torch.
Yes.
She passed the baton to you. And it's your responsibility now to carry it on.
Yes.
It's exactly what Psalm 71 is about.
I love that. it's God's will, then whatever that may be, because I don't think it's teaching.
Well, no, it doesn't matter. What was this lady doing?
It's wherever talking. You meet someone. Oh, right. Yeah,
she was just talking. Yeah. She was just saying, some people, when it comes to evangelizing, think there's, and I'm not saying you, but I mean, I've heard people say, well, do this, this, that. No. Just talk to people.
Yes.
Tell them what the Lord's done for you. The last person I led to the Lord, all I did was, I told a story about Julie and I and how we came together. It was all God. Oscar had said that the Lord told him before he had even met Julie that I was going to marry someone named Juliet. Well, nobody in this church knew that her given name on her birth certificate is Juliet. Now, come on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you tell that to someone. I've had people say, I just got chills. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot more to the story than that, but I'm just saying, you tell the whole story, and I've had people say, oh, my gosh, I just got chills. That shows the power of the Lord, and I don't have to do anything but just... That's what happened to me,
My testifying.
I would share, it's every day being open to God and Lord, yes. Whatever you want to speak to me, through me, and I was at the laundromat, I was sharing with Buddy and with Sue, and this lady was having trouble with this, putting her money in the, get change, and she looked kind of destitute, and she asked me, did I have quarters, and I said, no, but I got her... These two, they were wrinkled up and they were kind of damp to work and got the, and she thanked me. And then I said, I just felt to ask her, could I hug her?
Yeah.
And I said, can I hug you? And she said, yes, but why? And I said, because I want God to bless you. And I hugged her and her eyes filled with tears.
Good answer.
And I said, I'm going to be praying for you. And she said, can you pray for me now? And I prayed for her right there in the laundromat.
And there was another
Another man there that heard and was listening. And then the other lady that was there, I knew her from,
Just have a Bible study.
And I got to, and then she asked me, and then she shared, she said, you're so special. I've never met anybody like you. And I told her that God wanted to, bless her. And I told her that she was special.
Yes.
That God loved her. And that, and she told me her name was Marie. I told her my name, and when she let me know she was homeless. And I thought of Debbie when she had shared about the guy that helped them. So, but see, and I told her that I was to see you today. This was, I know she didn't understand, but I know, and I truly believe that if we get up every day and look to God, and Lord wanting to be a vessel used of Him, and for Him to minister through you, He will set up the opportunities.
He will, yeah.
Yes, He does.
And what you're doing is just transferring it to the next person.
Oh, yes.
Transferring it to the next person.
That is so funny because normally I usually we both try to send each other devotionals or whatever, just good vibes for the Lord for that day sometimes when that. So, and it's so funny that I love Charles Stanley so much that they even he has them in these 2-minute little just devotionals of here's the scripture and then they give you an example of the scripture as far as life and how you're supposed to apply them. And I don't know what it was, but I was kind of going through my phone one day and I don't know what made me accidentally.
No.
Somebody else.
God had you.
That person ended up calling me and going, "I needed that today." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Wow." Lord, because I accidentally.
No, you didn't accidentally.
Just
do that.
Kept pasting.
No, you didn't accidentally do
and
that.
Kept pasting. And I thought, you know what? I don't know if she's safe or not, but you know what? Here's the divine, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I thought, boy, she needs it too. And she needs it. Next thing you know, I'm going crazy and pasting in all these people on my phone, with messages and stuff like that. And I thought it was pretty hilarious. And that person ended up calling me like at 4:00 and going, I have never had an issue. I'm always in the Lord. And this person was difficult today. And it was just kind of funny that turned in today for that day for that person.
Mm-hmm.
And said, thank you so much. I needed that because I was, and I thought, wow, thank you, Lord. You know, give him all the glory.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
So that, I thought it was pretty funny.
Yes.
Good.
So precious.
It's exactly what 71's talking about.
So precious.
I hope y'all enjoyed 71. I'm going to leave you with this one thing because we're running a little bit late. I think this is important because I think it puts perspective on things. You can't export what hasn't been imported.
That's right.
That's very true.
Yes.
That's very true.
So
right.
Get a lot of importing.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
The more you get in here,
yes.
It just bellies, your belly of living water rushes out. And that living water is exactly what that person needs that day. That living water is exactly what your family needs. That living water is exactly what everyone you come in contact with needs. So bellies of living water shall come forth, and you're now exporting life to people.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know what you were saying before, and it just, as this was sent to me yesterday, it's always the right time.
Always, yeah.
Always
yeah.
the right time. God never sends you into a situation alone. God goes before you. He stands beside you. He walks behind you. Whatever situation you have right now, be confident. God is with you.
Amen.
And it was just what you had said.
Amen.
Yes.
God
Amen.
Is with you.
Amen.
He'll never leave you or forsake you. I wish we had more time because you pulled that up, right? Just give the gist of it there. Just the gist of it, real quick.
Yeah, this part's good. There are times in your spiritual life when there is confusion, and the way out of it is not simply to say that you should not be confused. It is not a matter of right and wrong, but a matter of God taking you through a way that you temporarily do not understand. And it is only by going through the spiritual confusion that you will come out to the understanding of what God wants for you.
Wow. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, just like how they put it. It's not like, you know, you're right or wrong, bad or good. It's
right.
Like, yeah.
No, because you think, no, because you think you're confused and you're thinking, what am I supposed to be doing here then?
So yeah, that was.
Yeah, that was good. That's
we read that
good.
Before you said,
that's
oh my
awesome.
Gosh, how appropriate.
Yes.
Yeah. More to
yes.
that.
Yeah.
So go, your assignment before next week, go to the online to.
Yeah, he found it online.
My utmost. For
yeah, I'll bring the book.
Oh,
yeah.
Oswald Chambers.
Yes.
Look at
yeah.
yesterday, the 10th.
The 12th and
the
13th.
All
righty. Okay.
Because
okay.
I
praise
have
the
it.
Lord.
Yeah.
I'm thinking
Brenda, go ahead.
Frank gave it to me.
Real quick.
Oh, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for that which you're speaking to our hearts, Lord. May we be flexible and pliable in your hands.
Yes.
And
yes.
may we trust you, Father, completely. Because you do all things well.
Hallelujah.
Now, Father, bless the service we're going to now. Bless the speaker, Father, and may we glorify you, O God, in all that we say and do.
Yes.
For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.